Well, here we are.
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
No, I do mind. The dude minds. This will not stand.
The only true wisdom is in knowing you know nothing.
That's us, dude.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I'm going to tell you something, and I want you to listen tight. It may sound like I'm talking about me, but I'm not. I'm talking about you. As a matter of fact, I'm talking about all people everywhere.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. Now here is the host of Rush to Reason, John Rush.
All right, hour number two is upon us. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, myself, Andy Pate. And we'll be here as we always are every single day until 6, our first hour. Don't forget replays from 6 to 7 p.m. We got some more guests lined up this particular hour. Sheriff Joe Arpaio is going to be joining us here momentarily. Richard Rush will join us here at the 4:30 mark. And real quick before we bring Richard on, if you guys have not seen the off-mic comments by Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, I would encourage you to watch that before we have Richard on at the 4:30 mark. But let's bring Sheriff Joe on next. Sheriff Joe, how are you, sir?
Live and kicking.
Well, that's good. You're upright. That's good. Nothing wrong with that. So you have a new book
what do
out.
You, got?
You have a new book out.
New book.
Sheriff Joe Arpaio, a American legend. And talk to us about the book. Why'd you write it? What are your thoughts on what's going on in the country today? I can only imagine.
Well, I'll tell you one reason, because no one, the media especially, will not cover like controversial issues like the president's fake birth certificate and how they went after me, the Justice Department, along with Obama. I can go on and on and on. So I got two chapters on that, plus my life history when I was born and all the way through to ending my job as the elected sheriff after 24 years, the longest serving sheriff in the history of Maricopa County, which, by the way, is larger than 18 states. So it was a big operation. I survived all the heat, and now I'm writing the book to let the people know the real story. Everything is factual. I have documentation on everything I said in that book, including McCain. I can go on and on.
Okay.
Sheriff Joe, you talk about being the toughest sheriff in America. I would not argue that, by the way.
No.
Do you see a lot of sheriffs in America just lacking toughness today?
I'm not going to speak for the other 3,000 sheriffs. They have a tough job. Most of them are elected, and they report to the people. I've been a bureaucrat for 30 years with the federal government. I was in the Army Korean War, and I was also a cop in D.C., and also 28 years with the U.S. Drug Enforcement as head of the DEA in Turkey, Syria, Mexico, Central, South America, living in those countries, fighting the dope peddlers, either undercover or dealing with presidents, and then 24 years as sheriff, which puts me in a different love category. I don't have to report to any governor or mayor. Mm-hmm. I report directly to the people who elected me. I think that's a big issue when you talk about sheriffs, because police chiefs have to report to a city manager, a mayor, and so on. They can't do nothing. Well, I report to the people, and I proved in my 24 years, going after illegal immigration, big time that got me in trouble, but that's okay. I was doing my job.
No, and you just brought up something that I think most people don't realize or they forget from time to time is the fact that sheriffs are elected. They serve a term, as you mentioned. You were 24 years there, but their only responsibility is the people that have elected them. But I think folks forget that. And ultimately, Sheriff Joe, you are basically the law of the land of any particular county. Am I correct in saying so?
Chief law enforcement officer, yes. Now, there are some sheriffs, especially up east, just run jails. Out here, I run the jails, and I do the law enforcement, too.
Gotcha.
So I do everything, and I take it one step further. If I think I have to come into cities to enforce the law, I'll do it, regardless whether they have a police department, a mayor, or whatever. And I've proven that many, many times going into cities when they don't lock up the hookers and also illegal immigration. I can go on and on. I do it. That's my job, and the county, these cities happen to be in the county. If you're a county sheriff, then I presume you should look at all parts of the county.
Yeah, and I think there's always, at least to me, Sheriff Joe, to me there seems to be this sort of dividing line between the, you know, the city line versus the county line. And I've seen it even in the area we live in Colorado here. We've got multiple counties that are listening to us right now across Colorado. And by the way, a lot of great sheriffs that are out there listening to us, and we appreciate each and every one of them, even the deputies that are serving in those departments. And we appreciate all of them.
Well,
but I think what I've noticed, at least in our neck of the woods here, Sheriff Joe, is there is this dividing line between the city and the county. And typically around here, you don't see a lot of the sheriffs running into the cities and handling the law and order. They're leaving that up to the city, you know, in this case, city mayor, city council, and the police department that works for them.
Well, I'm not going to second guess that. I know what I do. And I know how I lived through the bureaucracy as a law enforcement guy. And I'm the one that made the big mistake when I ran when I was 60. That's not the mistake. Since I was a bureaucrat, I said the sheriff should be appointed. I must have been drunk on wine because I would have been fired the first month when I put up tents, pink underwear, chain gangs, cracked down on illegal immigration. They would have fired me.
Right.
They can't fire me because I report to the people. And evidently, they wanted me for 24 years. So I guess I was doing something right until they ganged up on me, Obama, and went after me because of the illegal immigration. And
right.
I think the real reason was I had the goods on Obama's birth certificate. They knew it. They pumped in millions of dollars to get me out of office, thought I'd go fishing. Well, Mike Fisher, I'm still in action. So, and I was with Donald Trump from day one. From day one, I'm not a flip-flopper. He's my hero, and I will be it with him to the end. So that's the way I operate.
I know the book also talks about your pardon by President Trump. Do you want to talk about that for a second?
Well, the president pardoned me, although I didn't really ask for it, but you knew it was a hatchet job when you had the Obama administration going after me. And the day before election, said they're going to charge me with a contempt of court, same as a biting dog. Think of that. And they went after me big time. It took them 8 years to get me. And all they could get me on is a stacked contempt of court with some biased judges. I think I've had 4 parking tickets in my life. Here I am, after 57 years, I'm sitting at a defense table on a Mickey Mouse hatchet job called contempt of court to get rid of this sheriff. That's what it took. The power of the government, Obama, and the FBI.
Yep.
Well, read my book, and you'll see the real story. I'm not writing a book to make money. I have to get the book out because nobody, the media, will not cover these subjects that
nope.
I just talked to.
They will not. Again, Sheriff Joe Arpaio, I appreciate you joining us very much. It's been a joy having you. Again, the book is Sheriff Joe Arpaio, An American Legend. Sheriff, where do you buy the book?
You can buy the book at Barnes & Noble and Amazon.
Great. Perfect. Joe, I appreciate you.
If you send the book to me, I'll endorse it and mail it back.
Awesome. Okay, perfect. Joe, thank you very much. I'm sure some of our listeners we'll take you up on that. Sheriff, thank you very much. Thanks for all that you've done for our country as well, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. Let's take a quick timeout. Ascent Health Center is up next. And Dr. Julie will join us tomorrow on Health and Wellness Wednesday. But in the meantime, if you're not feeling well, you want to lose weight, whatever it happens to be, Dr. Julie will help you. All you have to do is give her a phone call, 303-343-8800. It's AscentHealthCenter.com.
Changes in your routine shouldn't stop you from achieving your health goals. John Rush recommends Dr. Julie Marchiol of Ascent Health Center as your personal weight loss guide, giving you the confidence that you need to see real results. Dr. Julie wants to provide, enable, and assist you in developing your highest quality of life. As she coaches you through the HCG diet program, you will start to see significant weight loss without starving yourself. HCG is a hormone that uses non-essential fat for energy. The homeopathic-based HCG diet teaches your body to burn excess fat first, leaving behind only the fat that your body really needs. Call Ascend Health Center in Lowry or Inglewood now. Schedule a free consultation with Dr. Julie to check your BMI and resting calorie burn. Call 303-343-8800 or visit RushToReason.com to find Dr. Julie now. Get the support you need to achieve the goal that you've been dreaming about.
John Rush believes there's no such thing as normal. You always need to stay focused on the future, and this current environment is no different. The only difference now is that you have a rare opportunity to beat your competition as they stay stuck in survival mode. Not one of John's small business clients shut down during the quarantine. And believe it or not, none of them has seen a drop in overall revenue compared to last year. Hire John and stay focused on the future. RushToReason.com.
American Princelings, Hunter Biden and Chris Hines, John Kerry's stepson. Kim Munson here. Wednesday, author, speaker, and immigrant from China, Helen Raleigh, joins me to expound on her recent publication in the City Journal about Hunter Biden and other children of political leaders who are favored elites in the China mode. John Kellner, DA candidate for Arapahoe, Douglas, Elbert, and Lincoln counties, shares the latest on the politicization of his race. Thank you to my friend and patriot Helen Jean Mitchell for sponsoring this show. That's Wednesday, 6 to 7 a.m., 1 to 2 p.m., again 10 to 11 p.m., right here on KLZ 560.
With every crisis, there is opportunity. Buying or selling your business? Kim Munson recommends Chris Cantwell with Transworld Business Advisors. Find Chris Cantwell at KimMunson.com. That's M-O-N-S-O-N.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Andy Pate, Charlie Grimes, Dave in Denver is next. Dave, welcome. How are you?
Yeah, very well. Thank you very much.
Thank
it was
you.
Sure good to hear Joe Arpaio. Had a real strong voice. I've never really heard him impromptu like that. And he's just a real hero.
I agree.
So, thanks. Yes. Well, listen, on RTD, Director, District A, there's Tim Nelson, Kate Williams, Kyle Bradell. And do you have any recommendation?
Yeah, we're actually going to have Kyle on with us on Friday. He would be my pick.
Oh, good, good. And another quick question. Here is, for example, one of the state reps, Leslie Herod, only a Democrat in the spot. Just leave it blank, right?
I tend to. It's not going to matter because she's going to get it no matter what. But, yeah,
no, but
I
the
tend
less,
to.
The less votes to go towards her.
So, I agree.
So, and then all of the judges, as a, in a sense, I've heard say, "Oh, mark them all, no." And but we can just leave those blank too, can't we?
You could do that as well. And there are websites out there where you can do some research on your particular judges and determine which ones to keep and which ones to get rid of. I've heard it say that if they end up going, the governor could appoint judges into those particular places, which might be worse than the judge that you have there now. You know, that's one that I've not spent a ton of time on here on this show, and
I've
probably won't. I think that's an individual choice.
What I've learned is that you'll hear something about a bad judge for the most part. And then one last question.
Dave, on the judge thing, just as a side note, even if you vote no or don't vote at all, the chances of a judge going in an election like this in our state will be slim to none anyways. Just my own opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, we would hear. Usually they say you would hear of a bad judge.
Correct.
Well, so real quick, then there was a Democratic Beth McCann, and then there's a Libertarian, no Republican. I'm just voting for the Libertarian. When in doubt, don't vote Democrat. Would that be good?
Yes, you're correct.
Oh, you guys are very wonderful.
Thank you, Dave.
For everything.
No, thank you, Dave, very much. I appreciate that. Yeah, if there's ever a choice against a liberal— even if there's not an R next to their name, Andy, I think you're with me. I'd vote for the Libertarian in that particular situation. I'd have no problem doing that.
In a heartbeat.
I'm not voting for the Democrats. And I'm one where if the Democrat's the only one on the ballot, I'm like, Dave, just leave that blank. You don't have to put a check mark there.
I agree.
So I would do that as well. Mark in Black Forest, you're next. What's going on, Mark?
Hi, John. Hi, Andy. Your conversation with Sheriff Joe made me think of something. Why is it that if you live in the city, you can vote for county issues like sheriff, but if you live in the county, you can't vote in the city elections?
I don't have a good answer for that. It's always been that way. I'm guessing because you don't live when you live in the city, you live in the city and the county. When you live in the county, you live in the county only. You don't have anything to say about the city because you don't live in it.
That's right. True.
That's my answer. Whether you like it or not, I don't agree all the time, because in a lot of cases, that city might be, you know, in my case, Mark, the city might be across the street, but you still don't get to vote in it because you're in an unincorporated area like me. If the city is across the street, or maybe it's an eighth of a mile away, you still don't get to vote in it. And I think on top of that, keep this in mind. When you live in the county or in the unincorporated area and you don't live in the city, you're not paying the same taxes. So if we want to go back to even the conservative side, where, you know, if you're not paying taxes in that area, why should you have an actual vote or a say? My biggest beef that I have, and I don't know how you ever cure this, because I don't think you can, but when you do business in a city that you do not live in, you're paying all of the taxes inside that city, property, etc., but you get no voice, no say in what goes on there. That's the biggest beef for me.
There's also another problem.
Right.
The cities have such amazing control over the outlying areas of the county around them. So you may not be in Denver, literally, but Denver's controlling you.
That's right.
And only people in Denver can vote on how they control you.
Yeah, because the county itself is still going to have a big control over those areas outside of the city. And to Andy's point, those cities have a big impact upon those counties. Well, you know, Boulder County is a great example of that. You know, Boulder, the city of Boulder, while it doesn't necessarily technically run the county, it does.
Right, right. They have the advantage.
Yes.
Yeah, and chances are you'd be doing a lot of shopping in the city.
Oh, most of the time you're going to be. That's exactly right. Yes.
Paying that sales tax.
That's right.
But you don't have a.
That's right. You have no say though. And by the way, I don't know how you overcome that, because our voting rights are based upon our physical, you know, residence address, not where we work. And I don't know that I want that changed, because you've got lots of people that work in areas that I wouldn't want them voting either. But yet when you have property rights and you're a property owner in a particular area and you get no say, I guess the only way you end up with a say there, and this is what does happen, is as a business owner, if you want to support a particular candidate through donations in that particular area, you nothing stops you from doing that, but you can't vote.
Right, right. Yeah, it seems like, people who live in the unincorporated area, they have that disadvantage.
They do. They very much do.
It doesn't seem perfectly fair at all.
No, and I agree with you. I don't think it is, but, Mark, that's the system we live under.
Yeah, and the sheriff, you know, electing the sheriff is, you know, a perfect example. Somebody in the city could elect a sheriff, but if that sheriff doesn't, you know, police or enforce the law within the city, that's getting a disservice.
Agree. Well said.
All right, thanks.
Spot on, Mark. I appreciate it very much. Dan in Blackhawk, you're next. What's going on, Dan?
Not much. How you doing?
Long time no hear from.
Yeah. Hey, so I heard you guys yesterday talk about the forest fires. So
yeah.
I got that, and then Joe, and then what Mark was just saying. We have a ballot initiative on the ballot. I think it's 77 that's going to put control of gaming in the city's hands to eliminate the, and I live in Gilpin County, and I don't like it because I'm not in the city of Blackhawk or Central City. So
back to our conversation we just had.
I would have no say in what the counties or what the cities vote on. And of course, I don't like how they do that, because the cities are small, and of course they're going to vote to get more money for them. Also, on the judges, on the previous caller, I did work for the state court system, and they have, and this always got me, they would always rate the judges. They had people they paid to rate the judges, and then they'd put out their recommendations. Well, I'm like, that's like having the fox guard the hen.
That's right. So, that's exactly right.
And I, you know, I'm an auditor, so I have problems with that. And then yesterday you guys were talking about the forest fires, and of course I hunt archery and rifle, and part of the problem, and this is just a thought I had, you know, we got all these transients, and of course some of them have mental issues, drug addicts, or alcoholics.
Right.
But some of them are more than capable of working.
A lot are.
And I don't know, and this is just a thought, and I don't know how it'd work. I would get them off the streets, get them out in the forest, you know, get some people who know how to timber, but yet, you know, there'd be labor, get them working, and clear out these forests. I mean, I try to hunt in areas that I used to hunt 10, 20 years ago, even 5 years ago, and I can't even walk through there.
You can't, because you can't, that's right, and you can't walk through that area,
that's
right.
And the deer and elk, even though there's, you know, the sun is hitting the ground, it's got new growth in it, the deer and elk can't get in
No, and real quick, Dan, I'm glad you brought that up. They're also not stupid. Those animals are extremely smart. If they can go, you know, a meadow away or even a mountain away and go eat, you know, lush green, you know, foliage, if you would, they're going to go there and not even hang out in the area that you're talking about.
Yeah, and then also because of these fires and the way they're burning, because of the timber, and they burn much hotter than they would on a normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we had done the clear cutting or the I wouldn't say clear cutting, but managed the forest better than we have. But when these fires burn as hot as they do, they pretty much denude the ground, and nothing is going to grow because it burns so hot that it pretty much kills any seeds or anything that might regenerate when a fire comes through. I've hunted in areas where they've timbered many years ago, and of course there's still beetle kill in there, but not as bad.
No, not as bad.
I can actually move around in
there.
That's
right.
And it's just I don't know why. And you'd mentioned it, and I know you're a native, and I'm a native too. Back in 72, 73, we had a beetle infestation.
Yes, we had a bad one.
And
about like
remember,
we have now, but we honestly, to be about the same.
I don't know if you ever went up I-70, but when Eisenhower opened, I remember when going up there, they were cutting the trees and they were putting them in plastic or Visqueen.
Yep.
And they'd pour diesel on the logs and kill the beetles, and they addressed it, and we didn't have an issue like we did here the last, you know, 5 years or so. These environmental.
Yeah, there was even back then, Dan, and correct me if I'm wrong, or Andy might remember this as well, but I think even back then, if you went up and cut wood that was in a beetle kill area and you brought that wood home, you're required, I believe, for X amount of time to cover the wood pile with Visqueen for a certain amount of time to make sure the beetles would die and not escape for what you're just talking about, Dan, if I'm not mistaken.
And for some reason, the environmentalists say it's all natural. Well, we suppressed fires for the longest time, so that wasn't natural. And the forests were much thicker than they should have been. And, of course, because we didn't allow the natural fires to clear out the underbrush, the understory and stuff, these fires are burning much hotter than they should be. And it's actually worse for the forest than saying don't do anything, and then now saying that we should just let the timber rot. Well, it's going to take how many years for all that wood to rot? I mean,
a
I
lot.
Hunted in,
it's going
right,
to take
hunted,
a long, long time.
I hunted in an area that had a fire come through last year, and it didn't clear out some of the. I mean, there's still logs on the ground that are just charred, but they're still. It didn't burn them, you know.
Right.
And it's just It's like I think the attitude or the environmentalists have gotten to where we shouldn't do anything, and that's not managing.
No,
the forest.
And Andy talked about this yesterday. I mean, some of the I'm looking at pictures, by the way, just reminded me of this and what Andy was saying yesterday. The uses for the timber that can come out of those pine beetle areas, and if you look at some of the furniture and some of the wood and some of the things that can be built, you know, as a repercussion of those trees being now dead, to just have them sit there and rot.
Right.
To me, Dan, has got to be one of the biggest wastes of what could happen in the environment we would ever have. It's just ridiculous we don't use that.
Yeah, and I hunted in an area where they did clear out some of the pine beetle. The forest did, but then they stacked the logs in piles, and they're not letting anybody get in there to...
Which doesn't do anybody any good. Why not use that wood?
Well, sell... I mean, they could even sell it
right.
for firewood.
Right.
You know, allow people to go in there, cut up.
That's
I mean,
what we did in the 70s.
And get that cleared out.
That's right.
You know, and there's all, I look at all these trees, and some of it's pretty sad because some of these trees are like, the diameter of them that I've seen are like, you know, 6-7 feet in diameter. I'm like, that was an old tree.
That's right.
And they eventually die.
Yep.
They're a living organism. But I think this attitude, and of course, this might be because it's the National Forest is back in Washington, D.C., instead of being out west like Trump moved
the BLM.
Trying to move the BLM out to Grand Junction. It's like, get the Forest Service out here so they're more. But
well, I already can tell you that the Department of Interior, we've had them on numerous times, Dan. You might have missed some of those interviews. Believe me, everything you're saying, they are looking at. They are trying to figure out ways to do management of the forest in a much better fashion than we've been doing. And believe me, this is top of mind to them, and they are talking about it.
And the thing is, you know, back in the 70s, we didn't know as much about the environment or the forest as we do today. It's like every year we learn more and more.
That's right.
And the environmentalists that are wanting to shut things down is amazing. Remember Quick Dick McDick?
Yes.
Well, I watched a couple of videos, and the environmentalists were protesting a pipeline in Canada that was going to bring natural gas down, and then they were going to ship it off to the Middle East, to like Korea and stuff. And it's asinine what they think, because they're protesting a pipeline that's going to bring a more clean burning fuel to the Middle East or to the Far East, so that they're not using oil and coal. And it's like, you guys are all against oil and coal, but yet they're trying to do a pipeline which is going to help their economy,
yep,
Canada's economy, and it's also going to help the fossil fuels not being used as much.
Right.
I'm like, you guys are protesting,
yep,
something that you're for.
That's
it's
right.
Just
that's
stupid.
And Dan, I'll let you go. Yes, definition of stupidity right there. I have nothing else to say about that. We'll come back in a moment. Mighty Ant Construction is next, folks. We just talked about building furniture, things like that, the beetle kill and so on. Well, guess what? Mighty Hand does expansions. They'll help you with windows, siding, roof, rooms, basement, remodels, you name it, they can do it all. Northern Colorado, they're our go-to. KLZradio.com, 970-844-9191.
It's time to stop painting over the damage and replace your siding. You'll be costing yourself more money in the long run by painting over wood rot and split boards every few years instead of committing to a full exterior redo with Mighty Hand. Micah and his team offer Diamond Coat siding, which comes with a 30-year, no paint, no fade warranty, so you'll have great-looking, durable siding for decades. You've been putting it off because you know it's a big expense, but you're not planning to move anytime soon, and you do want to feel like you're living in a nice place. Use some of that refi money to hire a local business you know will do a good job. As a full-service construction company, Mighty Hand Construction can handle any exterior work in Northern Colorado, including roofing, siding, windows, driveways, decks, and more. Ask Micah and his team for an estimate on a full exterior redo at klzradio.com/mightyhand. Honoring God, impacting customers.
Affordable Interest Mortgage, if you want help with how to get that room, that expansion, the siding, the window, some of the things we just talked about with Mighty Hand, Kurt at Affordable Interest Mortgage has a way to do that with you. It's really simple. Just give him a call. He'll walk you through how that process works, and you may very well be able to do that and not increase your cash flow going out at all. 720-895-0500.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the asset manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Richard should be joining us about now. And before we get into, Richard, are you there?
Yep.
Okay, before we get into things, I'm going to play this, since you and Andy both are here and are more experts on this than I am when it comes to the sporting end of things. We want to get some opinions, not only from you guys, but listeners as well, 303-477-5600, as to what really Joe Buck and Troy Aikman mean in this. By the way, they didn't know they were being recorded, but this off mic, quote unquote, conversation they had. Let me play this for everybody.
It's a lot of jet fuel just to do a little flyover.
That's your hard-earned money and your tax dollars at work.
That stuff ain't happening with Kamala Biden ticket. I'll tell you that right now, partner.
Okay, thoughts. Andy, you first.
Well, Aikman is a Republican.
Okay.
Buck, I have no idea what his political beliefs are. So, but I would say that at least in terms for Aikman, he's taking a shot at Biden-Harris.
Okay. Richard, thoughts?
Yeah, I think so. I do think Buck, from what I know, leans a little bit more left, just from what I know of him and his past. He tends to be a little bit more PC. I don't know.
Okay, so here's a question for both of you. Do you think there's your hard-earned tax dollars at work? You think they were just kind of joking around with each other, that you really didn't necessarily mean that? Or do you think they were really taking a jab at the Air Force for doing the flyover?
I think they were joking. I don't think they mind at all about some tax dollars being used for that.
Richard?
Yeah, honestly, Andy, I don't know, because you never know with these announcer guys. You know, I know
True.
Aikman's a pretty decent Republican.
But that was Joe. Keep in mind, that was Joe's voice saying, there's your hardworking American taxpayer dollars, you know, at work or whatever he said. That was Joe's voice, right?
So maybe he could be making a bit of an anti-military, anti-using money for patriotism kind of statement.
And then Aikman comes back
and say, well, hey, you won't have to worry about anything resembling patriotism. I'm using my own words.
Right.
With Biden-Harris. Possibly. It's hard to say. It was so quick.
Yeah, and like I said, Buck is the one that could be a little bit more left-leaning than Aikman in that regard. And keep in mind, this was a big deal, you know, back for all of the, several years ago, Andy, when it kind of came out that the Department of Defense essentially was basically giving this away for free, you know, some of this stuff away. And it's the only thing I would say, too, I guess, in actual reality to Buck, is these flights are going to happen anyway.
Right. They're going to do training exercises no matter what anyways.
Exactly.
And you came out of the military. You know that. There's a certain amount of things that they're going to do regardless of whether there's a sporting event going on or not, correct?
Yes, and the military actually sees this as very cheap advertisement.
At the same time that they're training.
Exactly.
Yes.
So it's almost like on-the-job training that they're getting two bangs for their buck for.
Yeah, although this isn't training. Everybody who's going up and doing that, they're ready to go.
But correct, and I can't.
They're very tight.
And correct me if I'm wrong, and I don't know this end of it like Richard, you, and Andy probably know, but there's still a certain amount of hours those guys have to fly in things like this no matter what, period. So it probably gets credited towards their flying hours no matter what, correct?
True.
So that part, they are getting the bang for their buck, right?
Yes.
And they practice. They usually practice, you know, not necessarily a lot. They practice a little bit on the flyovers, and then they do this. And then, again, it's not a lot of hours, but like Andy said, they may very well incorporate it into another training exercise that they've got going on.
Okay.
So it's not this huge, huge expense of tax dollars. And now I will say, I believe, I don't know, Andy, you have to correct me. I don't know if the NFL got figured out if they started paying for this stuff or not. But like you said, even if they didn't, it's still pretty cheap advertisement. Because they're not necessarily paying for the airtime, and everyone loves a jet, right? It's cool. It's America.
I'm not sure whether or not the NFL is actually paying for this at this point. I don't know. I do know that for the Air Force, number one, they see this as excellent advertising. I was in the Air Force, by the way.
Right.
They see this as excellent advertising. And secondly, those guys who go up there, they know that they are on the big show. At this point, this is something that's very important to them, and they have to be very tight when they go over and when they spread and come out. It's very important that the jet on each side is spreading out from the one next to it at about the same rate as the one on the opposite side, so it looks like this beautiful opening up.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that sloppily, because that's going to look very bad at a time when they are wanting to look very sharp in advertising what they do.
And by the way, I did find out that in this, I don't know where it stands today, but several years ago, 2015, the opposite was happening, Richard. The Department of Defense, so that includes all, the Department of Defense was paying $6 million a year to the NFL for a lot of the things that go on inside of a stadium, from the national anthem to, you know, the flag raising, to the participation with the military personnel, to flyovers, to a lot of things along those lines. So they were actually paying the NFL, and then, of course, having the expense of what's going on in regards to what we're talking about on top of that, which, by the way, as a taxpayer, I have no issues with.
Well, correct. And that's, I think, where most people, they got in hot water, because they were paying for this, and people are like, well, the NFL is taking this money and the Department of Defense is wasting it, so on and so forth. But again, when you look at it and you look at the grand scheme of it, you know, they're going to spend the money one way or another,
right,
folks? I mean, I know you could argue you could get $6 million elsewhere, but like Andy said, it's, at the same time, it's also a brass tax. What do you get the most bang for your buck for, you know?
Right, because let's face it, we don't actually go into combat with the military. And so what we see are, you know, things from CNN, aerial photos and so forth of combat. We don't see much of that. And this is a chance for us to see them at their best, shining bright in front of the, let's face it, the customers, the people from whom they're recruiting.
And that's the bottom line, Andy, to your point. The bottom line is everything they're doing advertisement-wise, like any other businesses would be doing, to gain really good, solid recruits that will then go, honestly, serve our country for at least 4 years.
Right. And that's,
which, by the way, real quick, at a very discounted rate for us as taxpayers, because those guys don't make a lot of money. You know that, Andy.
No, they don't. And it's very cheap. And also, it's not just the flights, which have to be really well coordinated and tight. So the practice time on those is immense. But also the guys who are down there marching, the men and women who are marching, presenting the flags and doing the parades and so forth in front of these national audiences. Well, those national audiences are created at immense expense by a private enterprise, the NFL.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and Dad, you hit the nail on the head too, in that a large swath of the audience, or at least the demographic that is watching NFL football games, are what? Young males, right?
17, a lot 16, are.
17, yeah. 18-year-old high school kids that are watching their, you know, quote-unquote heroes on the screen. So why not, you know, give them an opportunity to, you know, go essentially make a name
well,
for themselves? That'd be really cool.
And in our world, where we do advertising and things like that with, you know, in regards to, you know, radio time, so on. Let's liken it to this. It's like on drive radio where I'm talking cars and we have really a car audience that's listening. It's a very targeted group of individuals that are listening on Saturdays from 10 to 1. So the car repair facilities, Geno's, Extreme, I can go down the list, that advertise during drive radio are actually very smart, because they're actually targeting an audience that is very much looking for their services. What you're saying, Richard and Andy, is exactly what the Air Force or the DOD is doing with an NFL game. Correct?
Yes.
Correct. And again, they are greased. They're going to spend the money anyway, folks. To me, it doesn't necessarily matter as much. I think that it's, again, a lot of blown out. Now, again, in this situation, I don't know. You know, I think, again, like Andy said, Aikman, definitely on the conservative side of things. I think he was just kind of making a statement and taking kind of a subtle shot at Kamala and Biden there, and a lot of conservatives aren't taking it that way. But no, I do think Buck was kind of taking it a shot as, oh, there's your, you know, your tax dollars at work sort of a thing. It's like, eh.
In my opinion, neither one of them should have said what they said, okay? Because let's look at it and let's just hypothesize that Buck was being more left and Aikman was definitely being more right. I think people who think Aikman was not being a right winger, they are kidding themselves. Aikman was taking a shot at an unpatriotic ticket.
Agree.
And he was doing that on purpose. He was making a political statement. However, let's face it, it was open mic. I don't think they thought that part of it was going over the airwaves. Maybe they did. Joe Buck, I don't know, maybe he thought his was, and maybe they were supposed to fade out after that, or maybe both of them thought none of that was going to be on air.
Yeah, again, Andy, I'm with you. I'm not sure. I'm not sure of what they were. What they for sure didn't think it was going to be on air was a hot mic, you know, kind of off-air sort of a thing.
Seemed to be, yeah.
So I'm with you. I don't know. It's just, like you said, just better to, especially in today's world, the mic, anticipate the mic is always recording, right?
Yep. Yeah, it's the first thing that, you know, guys like Andy and I, and even you when you're here, that's one thing everybody has to realize when they're inside of a studio like we are is, you know what, just act like the mic is always hot, because you never know, it could be.
Exactly.
And in this case,
one,
it
one
was.
Although
1,000,000%.
Right now I know the mic is hot, so I'm going to agree with Aikman.
Yeah, no, you know what? I tend to agree with Andy on that one. Richard, I'm more like I think I agree with you as well. I think both of them were trying to make a statement. I think Joe leans a little more left. I know Troy leans a little more right. It's interesting to have those guys in the same, you know, booth at the same time doing what they do, and then this sort of thing comes up. Let's just say this. There's going to be a lot of controversy that will continue to go on with the two of them. Question being, and Richard, you guys know this as well as anybody, question being, will this have any effect on their future? Because both of them are extremely high-paid announcers, are they not?
They are. They are Fox's number one team, and I don't think so. Again, it's going to be one of those things that Fox will chalk it up to that. And, again, it wasn't super incendiary. You know, it's not some CNN dude, you know, taking off his pants and doing his deal, you know, on a Zoom call. So I think they're safe in that regard.
Charlie's laughing at you, by the way, Richard.
Relatively safe, and relatively speaking. Did you guys talk about that yesterday?
Yeah, briefly mentioned.
Yeah, that takes a little more than an open mic.
Yeah, there was a little more going on there than we really care to talk about on the family show.
And there's
here
a whole lot of stuff being opened up there. I just tell you that.
Yeah,
I agree, Richard. I think this goes away quickly. Look, you got two guys who I agree with Richard. I think that they are politically different, and I think off air they probably have a lot of talk between the two. The fact is Joe Buck, and I'll just say this, has tremendous delivery.
Yes.
In how he
he's one
does
of the best.
His game.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. One of the best.
And Aikman, although he started off kind of rough, has improved dramatically in how he does it. They both come under a lot of heat for their bias toward various teams. But setting that aside, and a couple others, setting that aside, their delivery is good. They've got a fan base. This is going to go away.
Did they respond, by the way, either one of them to this at all yet?
Not that I've seen.
Yeah, I haven't heard. And honestly, Dad, it's kind of one of those things where it was picked up by some conservative people on a lot of things, like Andy said. And I think I'll be the first to blame conservatives here, too. I think a lot of conservatives rush to judgment, like, my goodness, what are these people saying? And it's like, let's, you know, take into account, you know, okay, who's saying it? What are they really saying? And, yeah, at the same time, though, I don't know. I think that – I know Buck, you know, married actually a gal that was a – I know she's a little bit more right-leaning, and that she's actually was a former Broncos cheerleader here in Denver. And so I don't know. You know, like you said, Andy, I just think that it'll be interesting, but I don't think anything's going to happen. Like you said, they're the top crew. And
you know,
it takes a lot worse, I feel like, in today's world for something to happen to you.
You know, I know we got to go to break here, but let me just close with this. This really reminds me, remember the movie The Hunt that came out last year that I talked about?
Oh, yeah, I never saw it.
Where they were hunting Trump supporters.
My brother watched it. I didn't.
Okay. Well, a lot of conservatives got so upset because The Hunt was about hunting conservatives.
Correct.
I watched The Hunt, and it turns out it leaned heavily conservative because it depicted liberals in the worst possible, most vicious light.
Gotcha.
And I think conservatives sometimes have to be a little careful how they take things. Aikman sounds like he's blowing our horn here, not the other side.
Right.
Just like the Hunt was.
I agree with you. I agree. Okay. I'll let you go, Richard, with that. I know you got stuff going on. Thanks. I appreciate the commentary.
Thanks, see ya.
All right, Dell, we'll be with you in a moment. Don't go anywhere. We'll come right back. Purify Chevrolet is up next. They want to help you out with all your vehicle purchase needs. New, used, it doesn't make any difference. They've got you taken care of. And if you've got a good late model vehicle, a sports car, truck, you name it, they're interested in buying that from you as well. 303-659-8311, purifychevrolet.com.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. You know, being in business for six decades in any business is a tough thing to do, especially in today's highly complex and competitive world. As a small business, we certainly have experienced many trying times when there was no clear answer or path to take for survival. The COVID-19 virus for all of us has been the ultimate business disruptor, but once again, we've managed to keep on keeping on, and we are there to serve our many tried and true customers that have depended on us to always be there. We aren't and never will be a big high-flying dealership, but one with honesty and integrity and a culture of doing things right. We appreciate all our customers, many of which have come long distances to do business with us. We are proud of who we are and what we do. Purifoy proud. We certainly need and would appreciate a chance to earn your business, whether it would be for parts or service or if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle. We'd love to be your Chevy dealer. Find us today at purifoychevrolet.com and find new roads.
All right, Golden Eagle Financial is next. Al Smith would love to help you out with all of your retirement future. He'll show you how to get there, how to stay there, and what to do while you're there. KLZradio.com or 303-744-1111. 1128.
In order to make informed decisions about your financial planning, you need to find your purpose in retirement. As a chartered financial consultant and the founder of Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith isn't a life coach, but he does believe that your finances should fulfill a purpose. Too many people focus exclusively on accumulating more wealth without considering how they want to spend their time. One of Al's clients rebuilds churches damaged by hurricanes in Texas and Florida. Another client drives veterans to their doctor's appointments. One retired lady hunts black bears with a bow and arrow. Another gentleman creates beautiful wooden bowls. How you plan to spend your time should determine how you invest your money. That's the difference between wealth accumulation and retirement planning. Schedule a free, no-obligation consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial today at klzradio.com/money. Find your purpose in retirement. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
When politicians want to raise taxes, they're supposed to give you a say in the matter. They're not supposed to sidestep the law and make you pay more without your approval. But that's exactly what politicians are doing. And that's why we need Proposition 117. Proposition 117 gives us, the taxpayers, a voice. It allows us to vote on large fee increases, which we all know are just hidden taxes. For far too long, politicians in Colorado have raised the cost of car registrations, health insurance, and even hospital stays without giving voters a choice. They get away with it by calling their cost increases fees instead of tax hikes. Voting yes on Proposition 117 would change that and stop the hidden tax hikes. Vote yes on Proposition 117 to give Coloradans the voice they deserve. Paid for by Unite for Colorado. Katie Kennedy, registered agent.
Now back to Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Dell, welcome. How are you, sir?
Oh, pretty good.
Good.
Another thing the military does is the Navy has what they call a Tiger Cruise or a Dependence Cruise. I don't know about they're doing it now, but what it is if you have somebody stationed on a ship, you when they come into port after their 6 months, you take a cruise. I did one on the USS Eisenhower with my kid. A few years, did a five-day cruise from Florida back up to Virginia. And you're up on the flight deck for flight ops and whole nine yards. You're really open about it, showing the dependents what's going on.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. I didn't know that. Yeah, good to know.
Yeah, it was a blast. But, yeah, you're up on the deck at it's 8 floors below water, 10 floors above water, and 7 to the bridge.
Gotcha. Okay.
And, my son just retired from the Navy. He was a master chief, had a hazmat and weapons on the USS Lincoln.
Well, tell him thank you. We appreciate his service, Dell, and yours as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, but it was, that's another thing the military does or the Navy does. So,
great. Well, thank you, Dell. No, I appreciate it very much. Thank you for joining us. And Dell's a great veteran, and we appreciate his service. And folks like Andy as well. Appreciate Andy and your service. Well, how many years did you serve?
Just four. Mm-hmm.
Did your term?
Yeah, I did my term. I went in, and I almost stayed in because I actually really enjoyed it. But yeah. I had plans beyond it, so I went on to those.
So you didn't stay. Do you wish you had?
Yes and no. I mean, I would have been fine with it. I was fine with the path I took.
No regrets.
No, none either way. And I liked the military. I actually enjoyed it more than I expected. So there you go.
Okay. Good to know. Thank you. Thank you for your service as well.
Sure.
Appreciate it. Enchanted Kitchens, folks, is next. We'll come back. I have one little segment as well. If you want to call in, feel free to do so. 303-477-5600. Enchanted Kitchens. If you want to get that kitchen done by Christmas, you're running out of time, so let's get you in, get you done, get you handled. There's a lot of the design part of this that takes time. Plus, we talked about this yesterday, there's a big wait time right now just for the trades and for some of the material that you'll need to actually get your kitchen done. So get in, get it done now, and start planning ahead. 303-376-7588 or go to klzradio.com.
You need to stand in your new kitchen to know what works. You have some ideas based on pictures you found online, but you've never actually seen, touched, or felt the counters and cabinets that will become part of your daily life. The Enchanted Kitchens design team built their experience center with you in mind, so you could feel at home, only better, giving you the chance to visualize your new kitchen ahead of time. I'm Marie Christine with Crawford Broadcasting, and I'm over 5'10". I spend a lot of time bending over my countertops at home. The first time I visited the award-winning showroom at Enchanted Kitchens, I stood next to a countertop that reached my waist. Suddenly, I could imagine standing up straight to cook. As a Rush to Reason listener, the design team at Enchanted Kitchens will meet with you for free in their Experience Center to help you solidify your vision of a kitchen design that works. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. One thing we didn't get to today, myself and Andy, maybe we'll do this in the last hour, is we really didn't talk much COVID today. I know Governor Polis talked today, which, am I the only one that is really struggling to even listen to him talk?
No.
Thank you.
Every time he opens his mouth, we lose more freedoms.
That whiny, like, you know, it's like, come on, pull your pants up and talk like a man.
John, 2-3 times a week, I come in here and spend 3 hours with a businessman who knows how businesses run. Every time he speaks, I'm listening to somebody crush businesses.
Yes, well said.
Because he doesn't care.
Well said. No, and what you just said there on that last statement, and I've said it many times as well, you are right, Andy. We have a governor of the great state of Colorado where I've grown up. You've spent a ton of time here as well, grew up here basically, and he does not care about the people of Colorado.
No, he doesn't. And
not in the least.
The really unfortunate thing is this. It's the most popular place in the country to move to, and that means we constantly have this inflow of business coming in. We've had the most booming economy now for I don't know how many years in a row, and he's going to get credit for it just like Hickenlooper did.
It's another topic we'll cover here at some point.
At some point.
Yeah, that's a whole nother conversation. You're going to see lots of headlines, by the way. We'll just kind of finish with this on this hour. You're going to see lots of headlines, all major news outlets talking about the hospitalizations increasing in multiple states across our great country and the fact that COVID cases are up. In fact, they're at an all-time high.
Total junk.
It's just garbage.
Yep.
Total garbage. Now, not garbage that they're not up, because they are, but in context.
Well, yeah. With what age groups are they up? What are the results of this? How much are hospitalizations for COVID actually going up? How much is the death rate going up? The death rate's down 90% from its peak.
Yeah, it's not going up. That's the you just said it all. It's not.
And yet we are increasing restrictions. Look, this is all because you've got Democrat governors tanking their economies to hurt Trump.
On purpose.
Yes.
Well said. All right, we've got another full hour coming your way, folks. John Zemiracle join us at the top of the hour. We've also got Amy Swerer from Heritage joining us at the bottom of the hour. She's going to talk about Justice Coney Barrett. So we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Myself, Andy, and Charlie, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.